get this, 93% of consumers support labeling the genetically modified foods. Producers have spent over $100 million to avoid labeling. Having got that, we simply must ask, should the federal government support or prohibit the labeling of genetically modified foods?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 1003rd edition of the Food Chain Radio program right here on the GCN Radio Network. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends way over there in Nandi who are tuned in as we stream along in the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with Jason Struby on the boards here at Broadcast Central. Well, folks, this just in from the folks at GMO Free USA. And I quote, results of independent lab testing document that Kellogg's Fruit Loop cereals contain high levels of insecticide-producing genetically engineered corn. Tests also document the presence of glyphosate, the main ingredient weed killer. Now, some will say there is nothing wrong with eating the insecticide-producing corn, nor the glyphosate herbicide, and they will have lots of university studies to prove their case. But if the Kellogg's company were to label the fact that its Fruit Loops contain insecticides and herbicides, fewer mothers and fathers would likely buy the cereal for their children. And so the fight is on to label or not to label foods that contain genetically modified organisms. On one side is the 93% of consumers who support the labeling of foods containing GMOs. On the other side are the producers who have, to date, spent over $100 million to avoid the labeling of foods containing GMOs. This conflict places the federal government squarely between a rock and a hard place. If you think about it, with the rock being the voters and the hard place being the money it takes to buy those voters. The fight to legislate a federal government stand on GMO labeling began in 2014. Producers call their proposed legislation the Safe and Accurate Food Labeling Act. Consumers call the proposed labeling legislation the Deny Americans the Right to Know Act, or the DARK Act. This federal legislation, if passed and signed into law, would deny individual states the right to pass their own labeling legislation. And so we ask, should the federal government support or prohibit the labeling of genetically modified organisms in food? Well, here to help us answer that question, we have, we have Diana Reeves, founder and president of GMO Free USA. Diana, welcome back to the Food Chain.
Thank you, Michael. How are you today?
Well, I'm just fine, and you?
I'm great, thank you.
Good. Now, speaking of wellness and whatnot, how is it that you became like the pit bull of anti-GMO food? Is that a fair thing to say about you, that you're a pit bull of something?
I guess anything.
You're a ferocious
is fair, yeah.
Competitor, girl, so that's why I'm asking.
I'm a mother. I'm a mother first. And, yeah. And I've had, you know, a horrible experience in my life that has changed me forever. I lost my first child to cancer in 1988, and no one should lose a child. No one should have a child die in their arms. And as a result of that, I'm extremely protective of children and anyone that puts children at risk. And on top of that, my family has autoimmune disease. Four of us were diagnosed back to back several years ago, and it was one of those aha moments. You know, there had to be a trigger. And so I went looking, and, you know, based on my research and readings, I strongly suspected that genetically engineered foods and the chemicals that they're sprayed with had some role in the development of our diseases. And, you know, since then, I've been on it. And I've also had a personal experience whereby I specifically identified that a problem I was having, a health problem, which I was diagnosed with chronic fatigue, which lasted a good year, and I tried everything I could, you know, to get myself out of it. My doctor couldn't find anything specifically wrong. I had blood tests and whatnot. And I tracked it back to a vitamin that I was taking that was made with genetically engineered corn. And when I switched that out, my health miraculously improved over the course of 3 weeks, and then, you know, gradually, you know, and since then it continues to improve.
So given that experience, you went out and founded GMO-Free USA.
Yes, that's right.
And now you are that pit bull that I talked about with respect to labeling GMOs. Well, you know, when we last talked, you were conducting a boycott of the Kellogg's company for selling GMO cereals. And, you know, the irony in that to me, of course, was that Kellogg's was probably America's original health food purveyor, right?
That's right.
And something happened along the way, and now they are selling Fruit Loops. And so that kind of was how we came back together again. I got several or press releases from several organizations that talked about the reemergence of the DARK Act and how the legislation is going to be put before the federal government again that would limit the state's ability to label GMOs. And then I got your email about Fruit Loops, and I thought, by golly, it's time to check in again. And so tell us a little bit about your experience with Fruit Loops and what you've been doing since that time that it was about 2 years ago we talked. So a lot has happened in 2 years. So you're now testing food, as I understand it.
We are doing food testing now because we want transparency and we want accountability. And regardless of, you know, what the money in politics is trying to do, we will have transparency and accountability because food testing is going to bring us that. We need to know what's in our food. It's not even a matter of the right to know. We need to know what we're eating because people are sick. If you take a look at the statistics, the CDC statistics for 2014, I believe it was, showed that chronic disease is responsible for 7 out of 10 deaths in the United States. And it accounts for 80% of the $2.7 trillion that we spend on medical care.
And so, maybe that's why they say 93% of consumers want to have their GMOs labeled. Do you think that there's a correlation there?
There could very well be. There was another survey done that found that over 60% of Americans feel that GMOs contribute to health problems based on their own experience.
You know, since our show and since you were working on a boycott of poor Kellogg's company, they're still in business. But, you know, in reading the financial press, I see where the Kellogg's company and other food companies, too, are experiencing a slowdown in sales and they always quote consumer taste change. Are you part of that changing of the consumer tastes, do you think?
I think we're a big part of that, actually. Our social media posts about, you know, the studies on Kellogg's and all of our concerns have reached many, many, many millions of people over the last 2.5+ years. When we released the test results for the glyphosate in Fruit Loops and, you know, the GMO test results, we reached over 3 million people just with that information.
Now, tell us what you found or when you submitted Kellogg's Fruit Loops to an independent lab for testing.
We found two things which we believe are both disturbing. The corn in Fruit Loops, we found that, you know, basically 100% of it is genetically engineered and that all of it or substantially all of it, depending on, you know, the margin in the testing, contain BT toxins, which means that the corn is actually a pesticide that's registered with and regulated by the EPA because every cell of that plant produces insecticides during the entire life cycle of the plant, and they can't be washed off. They're inside the DNA.
So essentially the corn in Fruit Loops, it contains a plant-derived pesticide, both Bacillus thuringiensis, which is designed to eat away the stomach of insect pests that bite into the corn and thus destroy the pest.
It is, but there have been studies that find that it does things not just to insects. You know, it raises cause for concern with mammals and, you know, humans as well.
Any other ingredient?
And we also found the soy was GMO. There were traces of GMO soy in there. But the other test we did is we tested for residue from Roundup, which is glyphosate, or whatever generic versions they're using out there now. And what we found was that Fruit Loops contained a level of glyphosate, which when we showed it to our advisory board and to, you know, a couple of scientists, their first response was, wow, that's high. It may sound insignificant, you know, to the layman and the general public, but we found 0.12 parts per million glyphosate in Fruit Loops.
Okay, so Kellogg's Fruit Loops contains both an insect pesticide and in weed-killing herbicide. So I'm going to ask you when we come back from this break, what on earth would happen to the sales of Fruit Loops if Kellogg's were forced to label the fact on his Fruit Loops cereals? That is the question. Michael Olson with, by golly, Diana Reeves, founder and president of GMO for USA. And you
care from the heart. It's a local family-owned business.
Get this. You can earn a 5-6 or 7-figure income by farming a small parcel of land in or near the city.
You can be old or young.
Rich or poor.
Married or single.
You can own land outright.
Or lease it year to year.
You can grow small fruits on prairie bench lands.
Houseplants in coastal valleys.
Flowers on steep wooded hillsides.
Vegetables in the city green belts.
And ornamentals in neighborhoods of fancy homes.
Get all the help you need to get growing at MetroFarm.com.
Get the complete guide to growing high value specialty crops for the city at MetroFarm.com.
Get experts to look at your land and assess which crops to grow at MetroFarm.com.
Get advice on how to plan and develop your project at MetroFarm.com.
And get news about the business of farming for the city.
Yes, you can earn a 5-6 or even a 7-figure income by farming high-value specialty crops on a small parcel of land in or near the city.
Grow for the money today at MetroFarm.com. That's MetroFarm.com.
Well, when the good folks at GMO Free USA submitted Kellogg's Fruit Loops to an independent lab, the lab came back and said, well, we discovered that the Fruit Loops contains genetically modified corn, corn that is designed to contain a pesticide that kills insects by destroying the stomachs of those insects. Also discovered glyphosate, an herbicide that is designed to kill weeds. So those things, of course, have been deemed safe to eat by those who manufacture the wheat and corn and whatnot. So it's safe. They say it's safe to eat, and they have lots and lots of studies to prove it. And I note that even the federal government said it was safe to eat more glyphosate than previously thought last year. They raised the amount of glyphosate that we could eat in foods. So they have all the proof in the world that this stuff is safe to eat. And yet, one suspects that if Kellogg's were to label the fact that its Fruit Loops contains these insecticides and pesticides, it would have what would happen to the sales of it, Diana Reeves? Would you as a mother buy something that contained that labeling?
I certainly hope not, Michael. My children were actually raised on Eggo waffles and Fruit Loops, so, you know, it's very personal.
Oh.
But, you know, back to what you said about those studies, could we talk about that just a little
sure.
bit? Because
sure.
the studies they claim they have that prove safety, you know, there was a huge animal feeding study, and it was, you know, substantially all the animals that were reviewed in that study were broiler chickens. And they were studied for like 48 days, which is the time, you know, until they hit, you know, the slaughterhouse. And the study really didn't prove anything. It proved that none of the chickens died from eating food, but if there was any chronic illness, it would have not been detected. And the studies, you know, that they cite, there are no long-term independent safety studies. It's industry-funded pseudoscience. There have been subpoenas. There was a study subpoenaed in Europe, and it was a 90-day study that was supposedly proving safety.
That's the Seralina study?
No, this is a different study. It was a Monsanto study that was subpoenaed. And when the data was analyzed, they found that there was actually evidence, you know, early evidence and signs of toxicity, which, you know, the industry, Monsanto, dismissed as insignificant. But had they carried the study out for a long term, it is likely that those supposedly insignificant, you know, results would have had long-term cause for concern.
Well, you know,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
we actually have accumulated a list of over 1,800 independent studies and surveys and analyses which suggest adverse impacts, including health, environmental impacts, impact to non-target organisms and pesticide drift, genetic contamination, horizontal gene transfer, unintended effects, effects on yields and economics. I mean, there's a lot of problems out there. It's
right.
Just you need to look in the right place to find them.
To me, if you were kind of like stand on top of a mountain, look down in the valley, and you kind of see the consumers on one side of the battle line and the producers on the other side, and they're both shooting studies at each other with cannons. Boom, you know? And you know, in that regard, we tried very hard to get folks from the Grocery Manufacturers Association to join us today because they are the organization that supports the efforts of producers to avoid having to label GMOs in their foods. And, you know, that fight has been monumental state by state over the past few years. Industry, the producers of these GMO foods have spent over $100 million to fight state labeling laws. And so they kind of changed tactics last year, and instead of going state to state, they decided to go straight to the federal government and enlist the help of a friendly congressman who proposed legislation called the Safe and Accurate Food Labeling Act that would, in essence, prevent individual states from passing their own laws. And consumers looking at this said, no, it's not the Safe and Accurate Food Labeling Act. It's the Deny Americans the Right to Know Act or the DARK Act. And so there seems to be a focus on this conflict in the federal government. So as you look at it, to what extent do the foods on the shelves of America's grocers contain those GMOs? How pervasive are the GMOs in our food chain?
From, you know, the statistics that I've read, you know, approximately 80% or even more of
80%?
The foods on grocery store shelves contain some ingredients that have been produced with genetic engineering. I think there are more and more products becoming available with the non-GMO Project verified label. That market is expanding. It's exploding as consumers, you know, are demanding safe food. The more people, you know, become educated, you know, once you learn what a GMO is and, you know, herbicide tolerant in your food, it's just not a good idea common sense-wise. Anybody who learns this, you know, wakes up and says, wait a minute, you know, mm-hmm. I'm not going to eat that. So,
well, the good folks at the Grocery Manufacturers Association would not even return my call because maybe they heard the last show we did. Like maybe that's what happened, but they would not return my call. But I was really curious as to hear how they plan to limit our ability to know what's in the food with respect to going to Congress and fighting this through. What are they doing? Do you last year they put through the, you know, their DARK Act, whatever they call it, the Safe Food and Accurate Food Labeling Act or whatever that was, but it kind of fell off the radar screen. What happened to that?
I think we should look at that a little bit more closely. Last session it was introduced, and I think they had 37 or so sponsors, and now they're getting ready to reintroduce it from what I understand. The lead sponsor on that bill is Mike Pompeo. He's from Kansas, and he has taken, according to OpenSecrets.org, since 1989, $170,000 from corporate agribusiness. And since 2010, he's taken $250,000-ish from Koch Industries, which is a subsidiary of Georgia-Pacific and a member of the GMA. So you can tell, you know, where his mm-hmm. bread is being buttered. And if you take a close look at this act, what it does is it actually outlaws GMO labeling, mandatory labeling, at both the state and federal level, as long as the FDA deems that GMOs are safe. And, you know, the way the FDA operates, they rely on the voluntary safety assessments that are provided by industry. Mm-hmm. That doesn't seem like it's going to change anytime soon. Sorry.
Yeah, and with respect to the FDA, it's also has its one of its, you know, chief administrators, Michael Taylor, who is a former vice president of Monsanto Corporation as well. So there's that very interesting relationship between government and industry there. But you know, the producers have spent well over $100 million fighting this issue from state to state. And, you know, it's been a bruising battle. here in California, and you're in Connecticut, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know they forced Connecticut to back down, and they lost in Oregon. They lose the people who want to see GMOs labeled seem to be losing in every state, and yet as the industry spends $100 billion buying the votes, they're really serving to raise the awareness of the consuming public as to the fact that there is an issue here, which means that the more they fight, the more aware the consumer base becomes, and thus now 93% or whatever it is of the people who would like to see the food labeled. And it's just like the more industry seems to fight it, the more trouble they get into. Am I wrong?
No, I would agree with you 100% there. They're really shooting themselves in the foot. Had they just labeled the stuff, you know, it might have gone under the radar, you know, for many people because it at the time might not have seemed like a big deal. But now the issue is, you know, the statistics are showing that they're spraying increasing amounts of herbicides because the technology is failing. And, you know, they're planning to spray dicamba and 2,4-D on our food next. And, you know, people are, you know, really now learning what it is they're trying to hide.
Well, people who would never know what glyphosate is or what dicamba is or what Bacillus thuringiensis is are now learning that it's in their food. And
exactly.
And thus the fight to prohibit GMO labeling is really serving to, you know, they're winning the battles, but they seem to be losing the war. Given
the cash register, I would agree with that.
At the cash register. Well, folks, this is the Food Chain Radio program. What do you think out there? Do you think the federal government should prohibit or encourage the labeling of foods with genetically modified organisms in them? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. To label or not to label, what do you think? Do stay tuned right back. Well, folks, it's kind of like a battle line down there in the valley. On one side of the battle line, we have 93% of the consumers who support the labeling of genetically modified foods. That's all of us, almost. On the other side of the battle line, you have the producers who have spent well over $100 billion to avoid labeling genetically modified foods. This is a real interesting dynamic there, if you think about it. And if you think about it from the producer side for a minute, let's say you're president of the Kellogg's Corporation, you're manufacturing Fruit Loops. And, you know, parents love to give their children Fruit Loops because those children love to eat Fruit Loops. A lot of sugar and a lot of taste there. But what if you were forced to label the fact that your Fruit Loops contains a genetically modified corn that contains an insect pesticide and a weed-killing herbicide? What would happen to your sales? Well, probably not too many people would want to feed their children those things, so your sales would probably not be so hot. And so what do you do? You're going to have to figure out how to fight having to label your food. And so that is the war, and it is a big war if you think about it. And I have been thinking about the relationship between money and votes. On one side, you have consumers who have the votes, okay? Consumers can vote whatever they want. On the other side, you have the money, which is what it takes to buy votes. That's what all the politicians are doing out there right now, is they're collecting all the money so they can buy the votes. Now, the industry has been able to collect enough money to buy votes to avoid having to label their foods with GMO labels. So they've been able to get enough money. But looking into the future, they say, goodness, we're going to have to fight this state by state by state all across the country. And then we're going to have to go back and fight it again state by state by state because the consumers want to see the labeling. And so what do? We have to have one law that'll fix all the laws. So you go to the federal government and say, you know, let's build a law that will fix all the laws so we don't have to keep spending all this money. Am I wrong here? What do you think? 800-624-2665. Diana, am I off base here? Is that the...
I think you get it, Michael.
And so how do you, let's talk then about how you go about fighting this, because you're up against money, big money. I mean, it's obvious how producers fight it. You know, they just hire some politicians and some very, very astute marketing people. I mean, I've watched the anti-GMO labeling campaigns, very good stuff. If you're a marketing person, you look at it and go, wow, they've got some really high-powered, intelligent
nonsense
warriors out there. Yeah.
Yeah.
And how do you go up against that? You know, like you really are David up against Goliath.
Well, we've given that a lot of thought, and that was really the basis of the decision to boycott Kellogg's, because they're one of the worst offenders. You know, they target children when they're with their marketing primarily. And, you know, as I said, that's a real sore spot for me. But, you know, the other thing is the Kellogg's boycott is really designed to change the food system, because you cannot get the entire nation to focus on boycotting every GMO food. People are overwhelmed. They don't know what to do.
Right.
So if we tell the nation to focus on Kellogg's, and it's working, last week I had a phone call from a Wall Street analyst. It was a cold call, and he said he had spent 15 minutes on the phone with John Bryant, asking John Bryant,
Who's John Bryant?
He's the CEO of Kellogg's.
Okay.
He had asked John Bryant 15 minutes worth of conversation, why is it that your Project K, which is your major cost-cutting program that involves plant closings, employee layoffs, and consolidations, is not turning your business around? And he didn't get a straight answer, so he went looking, and he found me. And I told him about the boycott and, you know, the amazing reach that we've had with our messaging on the Kellogg's campaign. And he said, well, wow, now it makes sense. So we are making a big difference. And as far as Kellogg's go, we will not lift the boycott until Kellogg's commits to making every single product they make without GMOs and to enroll each one of them in the non-GMO project for verification, because they've proven that they're not trustworthy.
So it would seem like you're saying, to heck with the labeling stuff, we're just going straight for the juggler. Am I wrong?
Well, actually, we support boycotting, we support labeling, and we support bans, all of the above.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just one piece of what we're doing. And, you know, with the food program, food testing, you know, as I say, we're bringing transparency and accountability.
So what's going to happen? You know, I asked the question a while ago. Imagine you're the Kellogg's guy and John Bryant, and you're looking at these consumers down there on the street level, and led by you and Diana Reeves out there leading the charge, and you think, well, geez, if I label my cereal with the fact that it contains this stuff, I'm going to be in really big trouble here, because who's going to buy it? So what do you do if you're John Bryant, the head of Kellogg's? I mean, how do you come?
Well, John Bryant, I'm talking to you now. If you're smart, you will stop wasting Kellogg's funds and stop spending money to fight labeling, because you're throwing it in the trash. $2 million just to fight labeling, and another $3.3 million on lobbying, according to Open Secrets, in the last 2013 and 14 years. So you'll stop wasting Kellogg's money, first of all. And second of all, what you'll do is you will reformulate your products and use the formulas that you use in Europe, because in the EU there are no GMOs in your products, and there are no herbicides, and there's no artificial dyes and preservatives, which are other things that are harmful to children. So if you're smart, you'll commit to changing it, reformulating all your products, and to enrolling in the non-GMO project for verification, because, as I said, you've proven that you're not trustworthy. I called 3 times personally, and I was given different answers each time. Does Kellogg use GMOs? First answer, yes, we use GMOs. The FDA says they're safe. Kellogg's, second time I called, well, we buy our ingredients on the open market, so we don't really know. Third time I called, Kellogg's avoids GMOs, but we can't guarantee there's no cross-contamination. So you've proven that you're not trustworthy.
So they gave you three different, and like I said, it seems to be the harder they fight it, the, you know, the deeper they dig themselves into the mud hole almost. And as I said,
absolutely, their sales have been down for 7 quarters in a row now.
Well, now you're really wreaking havoc on the food chain, and it's not just Kellogg's, though, really, is it? I mean, there are other very, very big companies that are trying to come to grips with this as well. What about like Coca-Cola and Pepsi-Cola?
Well, no one actually has tried to hold Pepsi accountable, so we decided that we would include one of their products in our food testing program, and we recently tested Sun Chips. And basically, we found the same thing in Sun Chips as we found in Fruit Loops, a level of glyphosate, which was slightly higher than Fruit Loops, but basically comparable. And the corn, you know, once again, is GMO corn that contain DNA sequences that are found in BT toxic corn, which is insecticide-producing corn.
Wow. So it's kind of like throughout, it's just everywhere in the food chain that anything that I did a feature last week with the gals from Weston A. Price Foundation, and she said in no uncertain terms, don't eat anything with a label on it. Pretty close. This is the food chain. Michael Olson. Today we're talking about the federal government. Should the federal government support or prohibit the labeling of GMO foods? What do you think? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Hello, folks. Michael Olson. We are back. This is the Food Chain Radio program. Today we're talking about the effort by the industry, the food industry, the food producers to label GMO foods. For many years, they fought it state to state. By golly, they had enough money to convince voters to vote against these GMO labeling laws. And the voters did vote against it. But in doing so, they really gave the consumer an idea that something out there must be worth hiding for an industry to spend $100 million to hide it. So it's really a twofold impact there. They won the battle, but as consumers become more and more aware of what's in their food, they become more and more resistant to not having the information. And it seems like it's easier to fight these days than it was in previous times, perhaps. I don't know. Maybe you can help me out with this, Diana Reeves, founder and president of GMO Free USA. It seems like it's easier because there's so much social media and there's so much access to laboratories, and it's easier for you to get the information and get it out in ways that were once controlled by a few companies. Now it's easy. Am I wrong there?
Social media is, you know, definitely a blessing. We've reached as many as 12 million people in 1 week on social media. you know, the range fluctuates depending on the news. And what we do is we share news and we share studies to educate people. And people are waking up. We've seen a dramatic increase in awareness and interest over the last 2.5 years. People now on our Facebook page will have people from industry post nonsense and propaganda, and we don't even have to reply to that because there's a whole community that knows the truth, and they just laugh at them.
Well, And with respect to the truth, you know, everybody has their version of what the truth is. And you know, industry has a lot of studies that it has funded that prove that these things are safe to eat. And yet they're not being believed to the extent that they were at one time because there are other people who have these other studies. And like I said, there's two parties on the battle line, and they're firing cannons filled with studies at each other. And so everybody in the middle kind of goes, well, what is the truth here? And does anybody really know?
Truth is, without a label, there's no accountability, there's no traceability, and there's no liability. And that is why we need a mandatory label.
So without that label, there is no truth then?
Without that label, there's no traceability. So it's very difficult for someone, say, like me, who was sick. I need to call companies and ask them about their ingredients so that I can figure out what I'm putting in my body. It makes it complicated. Not everyone has the time to do that.
And as you demonstrated, when you call the companies, you get three different answers. So who knows?
That's true. Exactly.
So
yep, I agree.
With respect to the efficacy of your boycott, it does not that eliminate the need for labeling? in a way?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Because what we're trying to do is we're trying to show these companies that it's time to stop fighting because we are labeling it for you. So just put the label on the thing already and let Americans decide. And if you don't do it, we'll do it for you. So any way you look at it, you lose.
Mm-hmm. And we did try to get the Grocery Manufacturers Association to join us today to give their side of this conflict, but they refused to participate or wouldn't even return our calls, actually. So,
not surprising.
Not surprising, huh? So do you see any give? I mean, I don't see how they can give. I don't see how Kellogg's can label their Fruit Loops with what's in it. Do you see
I
that?
Actually, I
can't see it.
No, but I do see a little give in the other direction. You know, as I said, we won't lift the boycott until they commit to removing GMOs and getting verified independently. But what I did see was there was an article in the New York Times last week. Stephanie Strom covered the Kellogg's earnings release. In that article, she quoted John Bryant saying that they are going to be looking to source more non-GMO ingredients and to make more of their Kashi line organic. Well, it's a step. It's not enough, and it's not what we would deem an acceptable answer, but it is definitely movement.
And having the ability to take their product off the shelf and submit it to a DNA analysis really does give you the power over the propaganda, doesn't it?
It does.
But
we actually have the boycott growing on a retail level, speaking of on the shelf in the store. We have a growing number of stores around the country that are kicking them out.
That are kicking Kellogg's out?
They are. They're taking their products off the shelves. So, and there are stores in states that you wouldn't expect. There's one in Mississippi and Kansas and Illinois, you know, and people want transparency, and Kellogg's is the poster child.
But that's just one company, and if you say 80% of, you know, processed food contains some element of genetically modified organisms, then that's a lot of what's left on the grocery shelves.
Michael, when you think about it, though, if we force Kellogg's to change their evil ways, which we will, it's only a matter of time, because otherwise they're going to go out of business.
You being it's the pit bull of GMO labeling, right?
Mm-hmm. It's going to be a domino effect because their competitors will be at a disadvantage and they will be forced to change as well. So, you know, this is kind of, you know, it'll be the domino effect. And this is, you know, the strategy. The strategy is boycott Kellogg's to change the food system.
Well, we have a final break coming up, but I want to ask you the big question. You're a mother that experienced, you know, some terrible impact of eating the wrong kinds of foods. So I want to ask you, what you do feed your children now, how you changed the way you feed your family, and perhaps the rest of us can learn from you. Folks, this is the Food Chain Radio Program. Got a question coming on the line. We'll pick up right after this break. The phone number is 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Diana Reeves, the founder and president of GMO Free USA, not with us today, representatives from the Grocery Manufacturers Association, go figure. Okay, let's go quickly to the phones. We have a caller, Bob, who has a question for our guest, and we look forward to it. Diana Reeves, founder and president of GMO Free Santa USA. Go ahead, Bob. What do you got on the line?
Oh, just as quickly. Last night I saw a film, downloaded a film called Bought, and I'm wondering if your guest could or would like to comment on that film.
What's the name of it?
Bought.
Like B-O-U-G-H-T, bought?
Yeah, bought, as in the pharmaceutical companies buying out the politicians and so on.
Oh, the relationship of money and politics, right? Well, Diana, mm-hmm. Have you heard about that movie?
I'm actually in that film, actually. there's a short clip quoting me saying, without a label, there's no traceability, there's no accountability, and there's no liability. I think the film is good because it's trying to expose, you know, that there's just too much money involved on the other side of the equation. And, you know, there's a lot of things that aren't getting out there because of that.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Bob, with all that money out there? Do you think that, how can you stop all that money?
Money at the cash register of the consumers that have a I mean, they have concentrated wealth, so we have a great deal of wealth dispersed if we can have consumers vote with their dollars.
There it is.
Totally agree.
Well, okay. Thank you very much for the call, Bob. Diana Reeves, how do you feed your family? How do you vote with your dollar? What is the secret?
Well, the first thing I would love to encourage everyone to do is to try to grow something, of your own, because it helps you reconnect with your food, and you know what's in your food when you grow it yourself. And so, you know, I have a little garden, and during the summer, most of our vegetables come out of the garden. And the second thing I do is that, you know, we eat as many whole foods as we can. Because of our autoimmune disease, we can't eat much in the way of processed foods. We are reactive to gluten, which includes, you know, wheat. It includes barley and rye and oats that are contaminated. And we also react to milk protein, which is dairy. So our diet is strictly gluten and dairy free, as well as soy free, because soy is depressive on the thyroid, and three of us have autoimmune thyroid disease.
Well, goodness, girl,
as well
what do
as
you
celiac.
Eat?
Believe it or not, we eat so very well. You know, I just have to do a lot of cooking. So I make my own barbecue sauce from scratch, and basically, you know, I just have to start with whole foods. And I buy as much organic as I can. We don't eat any corn that isn't, you know, organic, non-GMO verified. And, you know, it's just a matter of being very vigilant when you read labels in the grocery store.
Whole food seems to be the secret, doesn't it? If you're eating things that are whole, that means nobody's had their grubby little mitts on them.
I agree. And organic is best if you can afford it, you know, if you can do it.
And
I also find that when you eat whole foods and healthy foods, you eat less. Because when you eat junk food, it's likely vitamin deficient, and so you just get hungry and crave more. And we eat very well, but we don't eat as much as we used to.
What about your autoimmune diseases then? I mean, have you discovered that it's made a difference?
Believe it or not, as long as we avoid the triggers, which for us are, you know, gluten, dairy, and I suspect soy, we are in great shape, you know, very healthy. So
simple as that.
And we're healing.
So
we're healing.
No more Fruit Loops for the Reeves family, huh?
And no more GMOs. That's right. Absolutely no more GMOs. Because something people don't know about glyphosate, there are three patents on glyphosate. One is a weed killer, but the first patent actually was by Stouffer
That's,
Chemical.
We're out of time, Diane, but you're absolutely right. Thank you very much for joining us on The Food Chain. Folks, remember Michael Olson's first law of the food chain. Agriculture is the foundation upon which we build all our sandcastles. Thanks for tuning in. Thank you, Diana.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.